security department is for. Doug shook his head. Security doesn't have the personnel for this kind of investigation. But I'm just a glorified plumber. Ginny and Harry will give you all the help they can. You can call on anybody in Moonbase for technical assistance, and I'll tell security to cooperate with you fully. Gordette's brows knit. It was clear to Doug that the man didn't want the job, but he couldn't refuse it. Another reason for you to do it, Bam, Doug added. I don't want anybody outside this cubicle to know we're hunting for a saboteur. No sense stirring up everybody, and it might be easier to catch our traitor if he doesn't know he's being tracked down. Or she, Anson said. Doug stared at her. Who did she have in mind? Or she, he conceded. Now get out of here and back to work. When are you going back to work? Anson jibed. I'll be out of here as soon as the medics run one more set of tests. But I can work from this bed, don't worry.
Me worry?
She laughed. What have I got to worry about?
Someone tried to kill you?
Her son's revelation shocked Joanna to her roots. She had taken his call in the comfortable little upstairs sitting room of her home outside Savannah. It was early summer beyond her windows. Trees were in leaf, birds chirping in the afternoon sunlight. And there was an assassin stalking the confines of Moonbase's underground corridors. That's what Ginny and the others think, Doug said. He seemed cheerful and healthy enough, although now Joanna realized that he was sitting up in an infirmary bed. He assured her that he was all right. And I'm not completely convinced this wasn't just a freak accident, Mom. Joanna realized she was biting her lip.
No, she said. It wasn't an accident. It's just the kind of thing that Foray would do, the little sneak.
Doug smiled when he heard her words. But how could he get an assassin smuggled in here?
That dance troupe, Joanna replied. Foray timed all this so that the dance troupe would be stranded up there with you.
This time Doug actually broke into laughter.
You think one of the ballet dancers tampered with my spacesuit? They don't even know how to put one on.
What about that reporter?
She saw his eyes go wide once he heard her words.
Edith?
She... It couldn't be her. It couldn't be.
Why not? Joanna persisted. You didn't have this kind of trouble before she talked her way into the base, did you?
It's not her, Doug said firmly. It can't be. Joanna did not reply, but her suspicions did not fade an iota.
What's happening down there? Doug asked, changing the subject.
Lev's in New York, talking to Foray's flunkies. I finally gotten Rashid to convene an emergency meeting of the board in 2 weeks. I have an item on the agenda calling for the board to urge the White House to recognize Moonbase's independence.
Doug's brows rose when he heard her. Do you think you can carry that?
I've been counting noses. Tamara will be the swing vote, I'm certain of it.
She'll vote on our side, Doug said.
I want you to do everything you can to make sure of that.
She watched his face closely as he listened to her and digested her meaning.
Mom, said Doug, there's not much I can do from this distance except talk to her.
Use the virtual reality link, Joanna urged. Take her for a walk on the beach or a swim. She likes you, I'm certain of it.
From his infirmary bed, Doug stared at his mother's intense image on the little screen he had propped up on his lap. Good thing we're not living in the days when families arrange their children's marriages, he thought. Then he wondered when he should tell his mother about Edith. And what do I really have to tell her? How serious is our relationship? Do I love her? The question stunned him. Is this what love is? Wanting to share your life with somebody? It's all happened so quickly, like falling off the edge of a cliff. Does she love me? Will she want to share her life with me after this war is finished and she can go back Earthside again? Yet in the back of his mind he realized that there had never been any hint of a traitor in Moonbase before Edith Elgin had arrived. He heard his mother's voice. You didn't have this kind of trouble before she talked her way into the base, did you? Doug ignored the voice. Or tried to. Day 24. Jack Killifer found that he was enjoying his visit to Tarawa, despite his orders. Outwardly, he was an American tourist taking in the beaches and fishing excursions by day, the gambling casino and musical shows by night. There were plenty of women, especially in the casino, most of them Asian, although he saw a couple of terrific tall blondes that must have been from Sweden or Germany or maybe even the States. Funny that there were hardly any island women in the casino, he thought. But he preferred big broads anyway, not the dark little wahinis. There was one particular island woman that he had to find, though. Tamara Bonai. Killifer had balked when General O'Connor told him to take care of Bonai himself. Why not hire a professional, he had demanded. The wizened old man had glared at him from his wheelchair.
God's work has to be done by God's people, Jack. It would be wrong to bring in an outsider. Wrong and dangerous. The fewer people who know about this, the better off we are.
Killifer had been forced to agree. Get a professional and you'd be blackmailed for life.
If the woman was in the States, or Europe, or even Japan, O'Connor had added, we could get one of our local zealots to do her. But out there on those islands, we don't have anybody we can depend on. That's why it's got to be you, Jack.
Reluctantly, he had bowed to the general's order.
Besides,
the old man had said, a vicious smile on his lips.
This won't be your first time. You murdered Foster Brennart, didn't you?
Sitting at the bar closest to the roulette table, nursing a rye and ginger ale, Killifer thought back to Brennart and the first expedition to the lunar South Pole. He'd wanted to kill Doug Stavanger. Brennart's death was more of an accident than anything else. He'd tried to trap the Stavanger kid up there on the mountaintop during the radiation storm. But Brennart had to be a friggin' hero and go out there with him. So Brennart died and became a legend, while Stavanger pulled through and survived. It was Joanna Stavanger that he had really wanted to kill. Joanna Brudenoy, now. The bitch blamed him for her husband's death. Paul Stavanger had been killed by nanobugs from Killifer's lab, so his widow exiled Killifer to Moonbase. Either go to Moonbase or face trial for murder, she had told him. He picked Moonbase. It wrecked his career, ruined his life. And she's still running other people's lives, Mrs. Rich Bitch, lording it over everybody else. I'll get her. One way or the other, I'll get her. The tall glass in his hand suddenly shattered, spraying rye and ginger ale and ice cubes across the bar. The guy next to him jumped up from his bar stool and wiped at his shirt front, his expression halfway between surprise and anger. Fuck you, Killifer told him silently. The bartender, a burly Micronesian in a loose-fitting mesh shirt, hurried up to him. You okay? Yeah, Killifer said, shaking his drenched hand. I'm all right. Don't worry.
Man, that's some grip you got, said the bartender as he quickly set up another drink.
Take it easy, Iron Man. We only got a couple hundred of these glasses.
You didn't cut yourself, did you?
A delicious redhead in a strapless gown took his hand in her gentle fingers, then looked up at him with big, blue, innocent eyes.
Nah, Killifer said, smiling at her. I'm okay.
You must have some kind of troubles, crushing the glass like that. Like real tension, huh?
He admired the curve of her cleavage. Everybody's got troubles, he said.
Boy, is that true.
You too?
Don't even ask, she said.
Come on up to my room, Killifer said, and we can tell each other about our troubles. She didn't hesitate a microsecond.
Okay, let's.
Well, said Lev Brudenoy to his wife, they agreed to evacuate up to 60 people from Moonbase. They're calling it the Mercy Flight.
Brudenoy had just returned to Savannah from a 2-day trip to United Nations headquarters. Joanna met him at the Masterson Corporation airport. Now, in the privacy of their soundproofed limousine, he told her what he'd accomplished in New York.
A mercy flight? Joanna echoed.
With a ghostly smile, Brudenoy said,
they intend to get as much publicity out of it as possible, bringing back people from Moonbase who might have been held as hostages.
Hostages? Why, that lying little—
Brudenoy put a lean finger to her lips.
Publicity is very important. Foray is very much aware that public opinion must remain on his side.
Joanna nodded understanding.
That's why they tried to make a hero out of that peacekeeper captain.